Moncrief on News Talk.
We'll be having a presidential election sometime this year. As yet, we've no candidates, of course, but in advance of it, should we be talking about who gets to vote? A constitutional convention in 2011 recommended that we should have a referendum to allow Irish citizens abroad to have a ballot. But as you'll have noticed, that hasn't happened. We're joined by Dr. Teresa Reedy from UCC. Afternoon, Teresa.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Now, a point that will be sent in during the course of this conversation from listeners would be that if you're not paying tax in Ireland, why should you have the right to vote in Ireland? Because you're voting on things that perhaps will never affect you.
Well, I suppose that's a kind of a traditional way of thinking about immigration. A lot has changed in the last couple of decades. People who immigrate now, a great many of them come back. They come back for good. And the vast majority of them come back at various different periods for holidays. I mean, I think the image of, you know, saying goodbye to somebody on a famine ship and never seeing them again is well out of date. Most of our immigrants are very deeply connected into social and family life in Ireland. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they'd like greater connection into political life in Ireland. A lot of them own property in Ireland and they stay very connected with life in Ireland. So I think there are lots of very good reasons for why we should think about our immigrants as much more active in our lives than perhaps used to be the case.
Now, to try and get into some of the complications of this, I would assume we're not talking about a situation where anyone with an Irish passport can vote, because, as you know, there are probably millions of people who have Irish passports who've never set foot in this country. So how do we figure out who's allowed to vote and who's not?
Well, when we talk about this, we have to kind of narrow down the conversation, because this is not about anybody who, you know, wears a green hat and shamrock shocks on, socks on St. Patrick's Day. This is actually very specific to people who are Irish passport holders. So they are citizens of Ireland. And you're right, though, that still is actually quite a large number of people. The Department of Foreign Affairs did work in 2017, which I think suggested it was about 3.1 million people. It's probably just a little bit more now, because there was a bit of a surge in seeking Irish citizenship after Brexit. But you know, let's say somewhere between 3 and 3.5 million people. And of course, the single biggest group of those people potentially are in Northern Ireland, because everybody born in Northern Ireland is entitled under the Good Friday Agreement to Irish citizenship. So there's one very significant group on the island that shares the island with us, and that's potentially over and back across the border, you know, many times in a given day.
Mm. Now, but there would be, it would strike me as two separate complications, if you like, the idea of people with Irish passports in Northern Ireland being able to vote, and all the political ramifications of that in the north. But a person who has an Irish passport, who lives in Michigan because their great grandfather is Irish and they fancied it, but they've never actually been to Ireland, why should they be allowed to vote?
Well, they wouldn't be entitled to vote. Only somebody whose grandparent had been born in Ireland would be entitled to vote. And they would have to go to the trouble and effort of applying for Irish citizenship and getting their passport. And in fact, the international research on this topic tells us that the single biggest challenge is engaging the immigrant communities abroad. It's not what we're talking about here. Countries that have done this haven't experienced an onslaught in interest. In fact, they've had to spend rather a lot of money trying to identify the people that would be eligible, setting them up for voting rights and trying to engage them. And I think that's one of the reasons as well why we haven't done this, because it is an administratively quite complex thing to do. There's no requirement on anybody with an Irish passport abroad to tell us where they are, to register with the state in any way. So it would be a complex endeavour. And I suspect one of the reasons why this has kind of kind of pushed further and further into the distance is that we know the difficulties we're having with our own domestic electoral registers. And so we would anticipate that it would be quite a complex, but not insurmountable task to do this for international Irish passport holders.
Yeah, and many other countries do exactly that. Now, just going back to the north for a minute, though, it would, even though I suppose technically people, Irish passport holders in the north have the right to do that, though it's a kind of an amorphous thing. You would be looking at the prospect of setting up polling stations in Northern Ireland, or somehow arranging it that way, and that might be politically unacceptable at the moment.
I think it would be politically delicate to do this. I suppose it's important to say that most countries that do this, they do it through postal voting, and they have quite developed systems in place to manage that. Given the large community kind of sharing the island with us, it might, in one logistical way, be easier to set up polling stations, but it might be politically more appropriate to do it through postal voting. And one of the things the Electoral Commission is doing at the moment, in any way unrelated to this, is exploring the potential of greater use of postal voting. So that's happening in parallel. So I, you know, we're all reasonably familiar with seeing, you know, our EU neighbours queuing at embassies and consular offices around the country for whether it's elections in Portugal or France or Poland. I'm not sure that Ireland has the kind of global diplomatic imprint. It has been improving in recent years, but probably still wouldn't be large enough to manage that. So postal voting is probably the most likely way that this would be administered in the long term.
Yeah, and are we just talking about presidential elections or general elections or local elections?
The proposal that's on the table is very specific to presidential elections. I mean, that came out of the kind of discussions around political reform and the 2011 general election, and it made its way onto the agenda of the Constitutional Convention. And it's very specific to presidential elections. Other countries enfranchise people at a variety of different elections. But for now, the proposal is very much specific to presidential elections in Ireland.
And it seemed to be more on the agenda, I suppose, during the Mary Robinson era and you know, for a few years after that. But now there seems to be a lack of political interest in doing this. Why is that?
Immigration is very interesting because when you look back over the kind of history of Dáil debates and kind of public debates, it really wasn't discussed very much. It's a bit part of the Irish psyche of, you know, major things that we just looked the other way about. And Mary Robinson, in political terms, is probably one of the most significant figures of starting a conversation about engaging with the diaspora. And there were suggestions that perhaps, you know, the wider community, international community, would be given representation in the Senedd. And that was discussed as far back as the 1990s. But actually, when the recession hit in 2008, two things happened. One is there was a kind of a new wave of quite politically engaged and motivated immigrants that went around the world. And the second thing was the economic potential of the diaspora was kind of considered in a more practical way, in the sense that, you know, were there ways that we could engage with the diaspora community that might be beneficial to the state. And I wouldn't say it was kind of a quid pro quo of economic engagement for political rights, but certainly political rights came onto the discussion or came into the discussion at that particular point. And then variously, it looked like this referendum might actually happen. But I think it was planned towards during the COVID period, and that knocked it off the agenda. And I think the realities around how complex it might be to administer, but then also party politics and which parties might be advantaged began to kind of emerge in the kind of background around this. And it's not that it's been abandoned as an idea, but it's certainly kind of moving further and further into the future. It's moving further away than closer, I think, is probably the best way of describing it at this stage.
And in terms of the political calculus, is there anything to that argument in that external voters might lean one way rather than the other?
Yeah, there's a bit of research that has looked at that in other countries, and it kind of depends on the waves of migration. I mean, kind of obviously enough, people who've left relatively recently map back onto the domestic population in fairly similar ways. The dynamics are a little bit different than in other countries. So, for example, there's work on Portugal, which suggests that the Portuguese abroad are perhaps a little bit more right-wing, but that could be to do with the age of the diaspora as well. In the immediate context here in Ireland, of course, there is the fact that voters in Northern Ireland are much more directly connected to politics. You know, they might be listening to us today. They're watching RTE in the evening. They're voting in particular for one political party, Sinn Féin, at their own elections. So I suppose in the background, there is a consideration about whether this would advantage Sinn Féin candidates in presidential elections. But I think that the lessons of the research is the most difficult thing to do is to get these people to register to vote and to engage with politics. The number of instances where they've influenced the outcome of an election are actually relatively small.
Yeah. Are there parts of the country where this is more of a live issue for people? And I suppose I'm thinking about parts of the country where that might have witnessed a larger degree of immigration.
Yes, and we can really see that in terms of the politicians that have advocated for this. It's not a coincidence, I think, that the Taoiseach that really kind of put this on the agenda and followed up on it was Enda Kenny, and he was coming from the west of Ireland. And Mayo is one of the counties that have been most affected by immigration. And he actually is the person who made the commitment to hold a referendum when he was in the United States, all the way back in 2017 for St. Patrick's Day. But it's not just Enda Kenny, you know, it's really all along the West Coast. Kieran Cannon was advocating for this, up into Donegal as well. There have been a lot of West of Ireland politicians that have considered this to be important and put it on the agenda.
Well, you never know. It might happen when the doll starts working properly again. Dr. Teresa Reedy is a senior lecturer in the Department of Government and Politics at University College Cork. Teresa, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.